Blog Talk Radio.
Flashback Friday radio show on the G-Loop Show with Queen Jim. G-Loop sponsored by BTP Media Group, 93 Tweed FM Ism, Dee Harrison of Westside Car Club. Flashback Fridays.
Mothers lost in a day trip, I'm in a matrix. Universe spaceship, rhyme these ghost friends. I don't need new friends, yeah, you a nuisance. Yeah, I'ma lose it, yeah, I was foolish. Gang with the cool kids, late night school trip. Flipping through these pages, going through these stages. I was on these mares, waking up dead. Blood in my mouth and lean in the couch. And the pills in my closet, please just stop it. Throwing up often, I was so nauseous. Crosses, found me in coffins often.
Changing, going through these phases. Days of feeling anxious. Times like this I'm praying. Gotta keep these demons always on a leash. Pockets filled with hope though, run around with no dope. Always had a knife and guns and meth and violence. Had to stay silent, I will not deny it. Pills and crimes and homies, never will I switch up. Fighting for the cause and staying true, I'm ballin'. Yes, I'm really all
everyone
all
now
at.
Does drugs and slang. Cocaine slang, where the collar kids stay. Gotta stay down, man, all through the rain. Never talk back, your head get busted. Teardrops falling, but your hand is bluffing. Seen through the fake, man, you can't be trusted. Yeah, he was gutted, trying to bank something. But he was faking, 6-9 raised him. Can't switch sides, you might just die. Lonely life, better hold my pipe. Rest for a knife, I was only 18. County jail problems, locked with the goblins. All night robbers, night creep stalkers. In and out parkers, robbed Miss Parker. I'm so sorry, bullet holes coffee. Morning kill awful, morning trip novel.
Changing, going through these phases. Days of feeling anxious. Times like this I'm praying. Gotta keep these demons always on a leash. Pockets filled with hope though, run around with no dope. Always had a knife and guns and meth and violence. Had to stay silent, I will not deny it. Pills and crimes and homies, never will I switch up. Fighting for the cause and staying true, I'm ballin'. Yes, I'm really all in.
Welcome to the G-Loop Show, Flashback Friday special edition tonight. We have a special guest who I just played his song to introduce his show. First, I want to apologize for a couple minutes late. Had to get some things situated, right? But we are here tonight. It's the G-Loop Show, Flashback Friday special edition. We're talking music and mental health tonight. So this should be a great episode. It's going to be headed up by Miss Queen Jean. It's her family who's going to be our guest tonight, her cousin. Sebastian Jr., a.k.a. Mr. 777 Bless, who you just heard. He will be joining us in about a couple seconds here. Let me bring in Queen Jean, my co-host, to introduce the show and go ahead and take off with it. I'm sorry. Queen Jean, here we are. Queen Jean, good evening.
Good evening. You sound like me over there, G. Lou.
Yeah, I told you, man, one day. Trying to deal with it over here. What the hell going on out here, man? There's shit in the air.
It's
good,
the
though.
Weather. It's the weather change,
the weather,
you know,
up
and
down.
Out there.
Yeah.
And it's I know it's raining really bad out there and all that.
It ain't
stuff,
raining no more, but it's just cold as hell.
Yeah, that's it. It's really cold out outside. I was out there earlier today, and it was very cold. So I got my little throat lozenges next to me so I don't do too much coughing on the air. But I'm praying that you get better, and I thank you for the platform for mental health, because that's a stigma. That's something that people just do not like to talk about. And I'm grateful that my cousin did ask me to come on to the show and talk about it and to showcase his music. As you stated, that song, it had me in tears, because you listen to the lyrics, it's really deep. And he's a young man, and he's willing to talk right. about it. So with him being young, he can reach a lot of other youth and maybe some middle age and maybe some elders. But we'll see. We just want to bring him on and let him tell the journey of mental health, his journey of mental health.
Right, right. Correct. I think he's it. Well, I seen him here a second ago, that number you gave me, but then that number went away, but now it's another 760 number, so I'm not sure if that is him.
Yeah,
but I think we had him a minute ago.
I think.
But the one you gave me was up a minute ago, but it went away, but now it's another one, 760 number,
yeah,
so I'm not sure.
468. That's the number he's using now.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Well, he is here. Let's go ahead and introduce our guest, Queen.
Okay, well, let's welcome 777 Bless from Oceanside, which I am proud to say this is my cousin. So welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing, family?
Good.
How you doing, family? How's everyone doing?
All right.
Hope everyone having a great day.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, sir? Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Hey.
I want to say first, before we get, we can hear you fine. I want to say first, I got a glimpse of you. I checked out your other cousin show, Big Bri, when he was on with Melly, and I seen you on there, you know, right after the tragic incident with your cousin. So I got to check out some of your Get Down, man. So, proud of you, man, with everything you're doing and just keeping everything going on. I'm glad we could speak about these issues tonight. So I just want to say that before I start. But go ahead, Queen. You got the floor.
Okay. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. So I want you to be comfortable. We're just here to have a conversation as if we're chopping it up, sitting in the living room or at a family reunion.
Oh, yeah, super
reunion.
Comfortable.
Ain't
nothing different
cool.
when we talk to each other.
That's right. Okay, cool. So, first of all, we'd just like for you to start our show with you telling the people, our audience, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is 777 Bless. I'm from Oceanside, California. I'm a singer-songwriter, rapper, artist, entertainer, and all my music is for mental health and suicide prevention, drug prevention, and getting off gangs and getting away from addiction and going to the sober life, you know. I'm just all about positivity and everything about my brand and everything about myself. So that's pretty much who I am in a little nutshell. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's great. Just me knowing you personally and seeing you, your transformation, knowing a little bit of your journey with the transformation. You started with your addiction at the age of...
Oh, yeah, let's get right into that. That's the one I wanted to talk about. With me, a lot of kids start with weed. I didn't start with weed. I started with pills, and I was 12. That was the first...
12.
Pills. 12 was, like, literally the first drink I had with, it was hydrocodone. My friend had them, and he was actually selling them at the time, and I always thought pills were, they were just, you know, I see them, like, going through the store or, like, going to the hospital, and you see it prescribed to people, and then you hear about athletes being prescribed, and you don't even think none of it. And with me, like, my parents were real, like, real, you know, in your face, real strict, real trying to, you know, like, so if they smell weed on you, like, you for sure, like, get my. It was just more of a, I can hide it. It was more, it was just easier. It just took it.
Easier,
I didn't feel like I was doing anything bad. So I just pop a pill, and then I'm good. I feel good. But you're not knowing what you're doing. Like, you're taking opioids as a young kid, and you're not even thinking of it or thinking of, like, a. So when you're just doing it, it's just, it's, I don't know, it does something to your mind now, because your mind is still developing at 12 years old.
Right.
That was the first pill I took in. Then when I was in seventh grade, I started with ecstasy. With ecstasy, I feel like that shifted my mind into a completely different, basically an abyss. Because I felt like after I started taking ecstasy, I felt like my life just kept getting worse and worse. Every emotion and feeling was 10 times intensified after the drug, because I'm still young. My mind is still so, is when I feel sad, I really feel sad. I have chronic depression. Yeah. I'm trapped in my room. Like, it sucks, because I was doing so much ecstasy where, like, certain things that shouldn't make people cry, like, just make me cry, or just, I just start tearing up, or, like, just randomly, I just have really strong emotions, and, like, it was just so hard. I think that's another reason why I got into Xanax, because Xanax masked all those emotions. But definitely, I started with ecstasy and pills, and I want to get the stigma away that weed is a gateway drug, and people start with weed to end up, that's not how it was me. I started with hard drugs. I believe your environment dictates, you know.
Right. Hey, Sebastian. Oh, I mean, Seven Say, you don't like this. Seven.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah, you all good. Yeah, yes, sir.
He like, don't be calling me. Hey, check it out. Do you think that's something with like you said, you're much younger. So coming in with the younger generation now, where pills are more common to introduce, opposed to, like, say, weed is still there, but like you say, pills are more easier, or like you said, can mask things or cover up, like you said, you won't smell like anything. I have a two-part question. Would you attribute that more to younger generation, like your generation? And second, like you said, you went from the what was the first one? I forgot the first one. And then ecstasy. I know about ecstasy, but then you said the Xanax. So what were these different things, Xanax, like? Obviously, they were phases. So what were the different phases? Like, say with the hydrocodone and the Xanax. Like, what's the difference with those? Like,
the hydro. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, no problem. So with the hydrocodone, that felt when me as a kid, as being a 12-year-old kid taking a pill like that, I feel like I'm on a cloud. I feel like I'm it's the most relaxing feeling, as if, like, you know, you're going to the doctors and you broke your arm or something and you're getting morphine. Like, that's literally what it is, like a lower, really low dose of opioid morphine. So, like, I was felt literally no pain, right? But I still had all my emotions and feelings and stuff. Like, I felt no pain, and I felt sedated. It was more of a sedated feeling. But with Xanax.
Then you being so young, too.
Also, and you also got to understand, other people have different chemical imbalances in their body and their brain, like in their brain. So you don't know really, and their parents play a part into it. And so there's a lot that plays a part with how people, not one person, I can have this one effect with drugs. Some other person can have a completely, totally different effect with how, you know. So it is what it is. But how I was dealt with it, that's how I was raised. But so with Xanax, that literally cut off my emotion. I'm talking about no anger. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm not laughing. I can't feel no emotion. And
you had
memory,
no emotion.
No emotion.
Just
no
numb.
Soul.
Numb.
I felt like, you feel me? Like, I was going to a point where I was so fucked up off Xanax. Like, I was just out robbing people off of Snapchat with the jars of Xanax people be posting. And I'm not even robbing people to sell them. I'm just taking them by myself in the room, like, throughout the month. And, like, Xanax was just so, it was $5 a pill. And if you know somebody, they're just going to give it to you. So when you got people just giving it to you for free, it's hard not to get addicted.
How long would a jar of them, and how many come in a jar?
So,
and how
yeah,
long
a
would
jar,
a jar
so a jar is 100. A jar is going to be 100. Like, oh, I'm trying to get a jar. Like, well, I got jars on deck. Like, a jar would be 100 Xanax pills, about the milligrams, the five milligrams. And then they have all different types of milligrams of Xanax, you know. But that was they had the white bars and then these Hulks and just all different types, but... yeah, it was cheap, very cheap. It reminds me of like a new crack like epidemic, because how cheap like this and is how quick you get addicted. You feel me? And like for some reason, just I don't know. Like when you did it, you became a different. You became evil. It felt like in my opinion, like when homies around me and people I've seen that are on it, they just did not care. They'll hit you, rob you, do whatever. Just do not. They're just gone. They're just, you know, and then they forget about it. Oh, I robbed you, or I did that, or I did this, or I hit the homie, or I'm like, what? You don't remember that? Yeah. Like, they just forget. That's another thing. It takes your memory away. You wake up the next day, you literally forget half the shit you did.
So, can I ask you a question? What made you spiral?
I would say...
What was the trigger?
I started changing when my mom left when she was 14. And I don't want to put all the blame.
No, you don't have to
situation.
Put all, yeah. Yeah.
You feel me? They're definitely not. But I just know that as a young man at that age, he needs both his parents. You feel me? And, you know, God rest my brother. Like, you know, he was going through his things. And, you know, my dad was dealing with, you know, my brother at the time. And my brother and my sister.
Right.
So, like, I felt like in my... I don't like bothering people. How I was raised, I didn't like coming to people with my problems. Every time I got hurt, jumped, whatever, shot it, like I kept everything to myself because there's so much other bullshit going on. I didn't want to do that. So I didn't want to add more pressure. No, I didn't want to add more pressure, none of that. And I felt like I was just, I don't know, like I just didn't feel like they cared about what I had going on at the time. So that's why at that time I did. But I know they did now.
Right.
But at that time, I felt like no one cared what I had going on. So that's why I ventured out into other people. And I felt I got love from other homies and other things. And I'm thinking those homies are good for me, but they're not. They're just bringing gangs and drugs to me, and they're just fucking me up. But I'm thinking it's love. But I got those two mixed up.
Well, yeah, you was going. You didn't know, like most teenagers. How old are you now?
I'm 24. I just turned 24.
Yeah. So, like, and you was in your teenage years, like you said, you started when you were 12.
I started when I was 12.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, your appetite got bigger. You wanted to be more higher, and you start experiencing much more. Like you said, the family situation, and then. Then losing Lino, I know that took a big toll on you, where you just, you know.
I also got to add, too, just another, I was, and I feel like I also, a lot of kids don't talk about it, but I'm going to talk about, I was bullied a lot in elementary, like bad, like to a point where, like, I would get beat, and I wouldn't tell nobody, and, like, in the halls, and in the bathrooms, and, like, you know, and then kids to make fun of me, and just like I've been through so much, like as an element, because everyone knew me as a kid as a Muslim growing up in elementary, and like there was a lot of hate, and there was a lot of racist kids, and there was a lot of like bullshit that went on at my elementary, and like I also had a speech impediment, so I was bullied a lot, I was picked on a lot, I was actually like there was this one kid who really would just beat me up every day. And in kindergarten, I wouldn't tell nobody because I felt like if I told my dad, I didn't do any. Because I would let him beat me up all the time, slap me, hit me around, and I wouldn't, because he had a mental disorder though. He was just crazy. This kid was crazy, and he would always take his anger out on me, and I never told no one because I felt scared. Like, oh, like, and you didn't do nothing. Because, you know, my dad from Compton, my family's from L.A., they're
your
how
dad
I was raised
is no,
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't be no punk. I can't come home and be like, this white boy was whooping on me and slapping me and taking all my stuff, and then you didn't do nothing? You better go.
Yeah.
Like, so
then you would have got dealt with. Your hands would have been put
on
you.
Exactly, but so it gets to a point when you get F with so much, you wanna just strike back. So that's what I did when I hit sixth grade. I just started fighting everyone when I went to middle school. I started working out. I wanted to, like, I remember that. I remember sixth grade because I wanted to work out. That's how I got involved with the pills, because I was always sore, and I was working out when I was 12, going to the gym all the time, every day, because I wanted to get big. I wanted to get so big, no one's going to hit me again. No one's going to beat me up. No one's going to do anything. Like, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one tripping and socking on everyone. Like, and that's what I did, and I was fucked up for that. What I did, it shaped me into the person I am today, so I can't even, I don't regret nothing I did.
Of course not. I just love you. I love you're so inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you too.
And me seeing your transformation and knowing of your journey, and seeing where you are now, because you're so passionate about mental health. You and your music reflects that as well.
Yeah.
With you doing this, how many of your homies are still around, and how many of your homies have you deleted?
All right, we're going to have to come. All right, so I'm going to have to take a second and probably think about it, because I have many friends. That
right, you did. Because
you've
been in Oceanside since what age?
I've been in Oceanside since I was about five.
Yeah. And Oceanside has its own history of problems as well. Explain that, because a lot of people don't even know much about Oceanside.
I would say I lost about eight friends in Oceanside. About eight friends to overdose and to gang violence and to suicide. All three. And
wow.
A lot of people don't know about Oceanside. I feel like it's such a city that no one knows about. You say Oceanside, what are you talking about? It's some beach. Like, you don't know what it is. You're thinking it's the beach, it's the ocean, you feel me? So you're going to associate with San Diego, and then you think of San Diego, oh, deep city, downtown, like beach. But no one knows Oceanside, the actual city of Oceanside. It's such a diverse city with so much culture in it. It's insane. It's like L.A., Long Beach, and all in one, like, and Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has the most area, for the second most populated area for Polynesians, for Samoans, Tongans, and Hawaiians. They got the biggest military base there in the back gate in the world. We got the building at Camp Pendleton, and it's fucked up, but we got the most active gangs in North County, in San Diego. We have the most active gangs, and that dates back to the cartels, to the 1960s, with the L.A. gang, the Bloods and Crips coming out, because people don't understand, if it wasn't for L.A., there would be no Bloods and Crips. But L.A. had to get out of L.A. They started branches and other chapters. They came to Oceanside, and they set up shop. This was in the 80s, and the crack era, and that expanded out. So there's a lot of rich history with the Mexicans, with the Blacks, with the Samoans, because they're coming from the islands, either going to war, and they come out here. There's a predominantly Samoan bloodhood out here. That's all, but they're all, you feel me? It's all love. Like, it's people don't understand. When they come here, they're gonna see it, and like, you're just like, where am I? What the hell? Like, you see, like, like you feel like you're in a movie, like a man's society or something. Like, it's just weird. Like, certain areas, like you being this Beverly Hills, and then you take one step and you in like Crown Heights, Center Street, man, it's like crazy, like you. This is wild. There's just little projects and little areas and little neighborhoods within Oceanside that only people of Oceanside know of. There's certain sections like Deep Valley, Mid Valley, Tri-City, like East Side. Like, there's a certain area, and it's just, you got to be a local to know about it, you know? And even if you're not a local, even if you're out the outskirts, you just have to be around the area. Like, but if you're really not from San Diego, you don't really know about Oceanside. And I want people to know, murder happens out here. Everything happens out here, and it needs to be talked about. And I feel like that's not talked about. And I feel like people need to wake up and realize we have some type of problem, and it's not just all fine and dandy over here. We have a drug. I want to fix the drug problem, because we have a serious drug problem in Oceanside. It's bad. People are dying regularly right now off fentanyl, and it needs to stop.
Wow. I wanted to ask you also, with your addiction to the pills that you have been addicted to, what have been some of the side effects to you physically? How has it affected you physically, not just mentally? Could you explain
so
that? But how has it
with the Xanax? I can start right there for sure. So I had a lot of withdrawal symptoms with the Xanax. So when you're withdrawing the Xanax and you're not taking them, you develop, well, for me in my instance, I developed a seizure disorder and a form of epilepsy where when I was fresh off Xanax, I was twitching constantly. Like, I was just, I couldn't, it was like my whole body would twitch and uncontrollable movement, and I couldn't explain it. And that's why also I was continuing to take Xanax, because every time I stopped, I felt like, oh, this is helping me. If I keep taking Xanax, I won't twitch anymore. No, because it's just withdrawing. That's why you're twitching. So, like, I had to, but I didn't know that, so I kept taking them. So once I finally realized, I started doing my own research. Why am I twitching? It's Xanax withdrawal. Xanax, your body's going to withdraw. That's why you're twitching. There are many seizures. I was coming out the liquor store with my friends and just coming with just some regular Sunkist and just some soda pop or whatever, and I literally had a whole twitch and fell on the ground and dropped everything. And they all looked at me like, what the blood? What the fuck? You okay? Like, they were so confused on what happened, because I was literally just fine talking, laughing, and I just twitched and fell on the ground. And everything fell, and I scraped my knee, and they were looking at me like, bro, what? And I didn't tell them. I was like, oh, I'm fucking just high. Like, oh, I'm smoking weed. Like, I'm just, you know, oh, okay. Like, okay. But, you know, then I started having the grand mal seizures. Those are full on. You're in convulsion. You're shaking. Blood's coming out your mouth. And you know when you're about to have a grand mal seizure. The first grand mal seizure I had was actually performing at a backyard concert, live concert. I performed a song, and I was going off the stage. And this is when I was doing drugs. Like, I had cocaine in my system, alcohol, and I was smoking weed, and I was off dance. And I remember, like, blacking out. Like, right before blacking out, I'm walking off the stage, and I'm, like, reaching to try to grab my friend, because I feel immediately my vision starts going out, and I see my vision like I'm going out my body. And so I try to grab my friend, and then I wake up in a hospital freaking ambulance, and I puke immediately. The worst headache I've ever experienced in my life goes on, and when I'm puking up blood, and that's the beginning of the first seizure. I've had like 8 of those. And
when did you start doing cocaine? I'm sorry.
Cocaine? No, you're good. Cocaine. No, you're good. My first time I did cocaine was my senior year. It was actually prom night. It was I was actually by myself at prom at the hotel. So it was cocaine. Yeah.
But that never became an addiction. That wasn't an addiction.
The pills became
more of an addiction.
Yeah, but the cocaine came addiction when I went to Santa Barbara. That's a whole nut. That was, Santa Barbara is when I graduated high school. When I was living in Oceanside, I was actually fresh on probation. I was on gang probation, and I felt like if I stayed in Oceanside after I graduated, I would have got violated, and I would have went to prison. So I was like, I had to make a decision, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. So I ended up going to Santa Barbara when I was 18, 2016, and that's when I got into cocaine heavily, heavily.
Wow. Okay. So with the pill addictions, the Xanax, you had developed having seizures, and did it affect your heart or any other vitals, any other body,
I was going through my seizures, they had me going to neurologists. Like, I went to every, like, doctor. So honestly, it was only affecting my my memory and the seizures, the twitches, and also I think it did affect my speech some way, and then also like my brain, how I operate. I feel because I like you know I just I don't know like I just I have a strong feeling of the ecstasy and the Xanax I was doing, like, affected my brain somehow, because like I'd be doing shit without even realizing, like just I don't know, this weird shit. Like I almost threw away like my jacket instead of putting, like I was gonna put it in the trash can instead of the laundromat. Just weird stuff, like, or the dirty clothes. Yeah, the dirty clothes hamper.
Right.
Like, just weird, or just put, like, I don't know. Just, I felt like it messed up a certain part of my brain, but that's why I try to just do music so much more. And, like, I try to learn, I try to research, and I try to just get smarter with that. And I feel like now, because my brain, I'm still about almost five years clean, so I'm still freshly clean off this. Like, so I'm still recovering. My brain was, like,
5 years,
cracked out. Like, it was so bad. My brain was so bad. So now I'm just recovering from it. So I feel like every year it's getting healthier and better, the years I don't do that.
Okay. We have some callers. So do you mind if we take a little break and take a call?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. G. Lou will bring them in.
G. Lou. Caller 909. Hello.
Hello. Hey, fam. Hey, cousin.
Hey, cousin Marcy.
Hey, hey.
What's
seven,
up, Marcy?
Seven, seven.
Good evening. Good evening.
How you doing, cousin? How you doing, Marcy?
How you doing? I miss you so much. I just had to call in and give you my props. We ain't talked in so long. I'm just like, damn, that's my little
cousin.
Dude,
that's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Like, but I just wanted to thank you. I ran in there and I told the girls, I was like, y'all gotta call in right now. I was like, y'all need to listen to this shit right now.
I want
you guys to
thank
know
you.
Each other. Like, I'm so emotional. Like, I started crying, like, when I first heard your voice. And I was just like, you know, it's us, it's Berkeley, it's Cornell, it's just what we go through. We big as fuck.
It don't matter where we go, like, our family and our bloodline is so strong. Even
Man.
Since I moved to Oceanside, everything I experienced, my family experienced in LA, I experienced in Oceanside. I swear to God.
That's what I'm saying, like, thank you. And that's how I felt, like,
it happened in
Pacoima, like. You gotta know, like, these other places, these other cities, they have a lot going on, just like the big cities. And I just commend you. I congratulate you for the 5 years of sobriety. And I need for you to keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for talking on the mental health
always.
Awareness. And I can't wait to hear your voice again. I'm gonna do it.
I love these podcasts. I'm gonna keep doing it.
Oh yeah,
it's
very important.
Cause I miss you. Yes, we gotta keep it because like I said, I ran in there and told the girl, call in right now. I said, this is your cousin and everything we going through. Like right now, it's just like we have to keep that connection going, and we have to. Who cares? You got out of it. You got out of it. I cried. You got out of it. I didn't know my little cousin was going through this. I was around y'all when y'all was little, when y'all was babies. I remember y'all.
I know.
I remember all y'all. So just remember that and know that and take that. And I'm not going to take up all the time, but I love you.
No, okay.
And keep
Thank
on
you.
Doing
you
what
too.
You're doing. I know you
I will.
Do.
I ain't
cousin
gonna stop.
Queen, I'm glad you're feeling better. G. Lou, you know what it is. I love
what
you.
What up, Marcy? Love one. What up?
Thank you.
Wait,
love,
no,
girl.
That
thank
was
you.
After this. I'm going to go
yeah,
back
thank
on you,
you.
But like I said,
bless,
it's a family
bless.
Affair.
Love you.
It's a family affair, and I love you. And all the success wish to you. We come from greatness. You already know this. Your family is everything. Your family is everything. Always remember that. And I'm
our family is everything. So,
family is everything.
Our family is everything.
Yes,
we come, from, we come from strength.
Queens
we come from
kings.
Strong stock. Exactly. So, but thank you, cousin. We got another caller on the air. We love
You're
you.
You're welcome. All right. Love you. Bye.
Stay on. Stay on.
All right.
I'm on.
Right. All right, caller, hello. 209, you're live on the air.
Hey, what's up, family?
What up with
hey,
it, man? Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, big bro?
Hey, this is Brett. Yeah, what's up, sis? What's up, cousin? What's up, cousin?
How you doing, man?
Yes,
what's
man.
Up?
How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. You know, I got no complaints. You know, hey, man, I'm going to salute you, man, and everything and let
Thank
you know.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, man, you know, like Marcy said, man, you know, greatness runs in our bloodline. And
yep.
No matter what happens in life, we always reflect back on what has brought us here and how to keep us strong.
Exactly.
And I just want you to know, man, that you're here for a reason. You know, there's no doubt in your greatness, because I feel your pain and I feel what you're going through, because I was addicted for a long time myself. You know, I'm still a recovering alcoholic and everything, and every day I wake up, man, I just thank God, you know, for my blessing. But I just want you to know, you know, I salute you for your mental illness, your mental wellness.
Mental health.
Yeah,
mental
that you're
wellness.
Doing.
There it is.
Yeah, your mental wellness help us. You know me, I ain't got my teeth in my mouth.
It's all good, OG.
And
that's all it is.
You
don't have his teeth in his mouth.
I appreciate
mouth,
you so much for that, man, because I want to bridge the gap between the older generation and the young generation, because I feel like, right, especially in the music industry, you know, like, because I feel like there's a gap right now, like, and I want to bring that, like, you know, like, let's all help each other. Let's all get better. Let's all recover together.
That's
all
right.
Learn from
that's
each other,
right.
You know?
And that's real talk,
because
man.
You know,
as long as we got five fingers on our hands and we make a fist, man, we can knock this shit out. Excuse my friend.
That part.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's right on.
Out to the people.
You said five fingers make a fist. We can knock this shit out.
That
yeah,
part.
I like that. There you go. Put that on a shirt.
Put that on a T-shirt. Right, Julius.
I'm telling you, yeah, big old power fist with the power to the man, what? Boom.
Yeah.
Knock this shit out.
Exactly.
Done.
Yeah,
that's
man, you know.
That's an Uncle Watson quote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and you know how it is, you know. They, you know, our father was a hell of a, your uncle was a hell of a philosopher. And everything. He spoke words of wisdom. And, you know, and I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from your mom and, you know, and from your grandmother and everything, man. But I just want you to know, whatever you do in life, man, just keep a positive attitude. Keep pushing forward. Get your message out there, because there are people out there that need to hear what you have to say. And nothing's going to make people listen if you don't put the word out. Like they say, a closed mouth don't get fed. You know, if your ears are clogged up, you're not going to hear the words that's going to give you the wisdom to move forward. So, and so you just keep doing
that's
what you're doing, now, man. And Mr. G. Lou, man, thank you for allowing me to speak on this platform. You know,
yes, sir.
You guys keep doing what you're doing. And much love to my family. Like you said, Gene, this is our family. And, you know, we need you, Berkeley Cornell Strong.
And
we'll always be that way. Because, the bloodline don't thin out. It just gets thicker.
Mm.
That part. I love it. Love you, big
Much
bro.
Love, OG. Thank you, man.
Hey, love you guys. Hey, you guys just stay strong. Thank you, Mr. Lou.
Stay strong. All righty.
All righty.
Love you.
All right, peace and love, sir. Peace.
Okay, no problem. Peace.
Shout out to the 209 up there, man. All surrounding areas. Yes, sir. We got another caller. Let me take a caller. 323, you're live on the air with 777. You are blessed.
Hi, this is Kiara.
Hey.
Hey, Kiara.
Oh,
hi, Kiara.
Guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you guys. I just want to say it really quickly. I want to say the show was really great tonight, informative. You know, I think the topics of mental health are very important, especially, like, with the younger generation, everything going on. So I just want to say it's been really nice, you know, hearing you talk, and I love you guys.
We love you too, Kiara.
We love you
Thank
back,
you.
Kiara.
Thank you, guys. Have a good
Thank
night.
Thank you.
Love
you,
Kiara. Peace.
Hey,
Thank
Junior,
you.
That's cousin Marcy's oldest daughter.
Oh, okay, got you.
Yeah, that was Cousin Marcy's oldest daughter. So
okay,
yeah.
So that's cute. Okay, cool. Okay, I'm glad. Thank you. I was like, that sounds like cousin.
Yes. Wow. So we're gonna probably play another one of your songs, but did we play Universal Phases already, Chilu?
Yeah, that was Universal Phases.
That was the first one. Okay, before
yeah,
we
that's
play
the one. I just
song.
Did a music video to that today.
Okay, okay. Explain that song. Yeah, Universal Phases, because I like the title, Universal Phases.
So that was basically like you kind of were spot on when you were mentioned, you brought it up, the phases. That song was about my phases with drugs, the different phases I was into, you know, how I started off with the opioid pills, and I got into ecstasy,
okay.
And then Xanax was the one that kind of just took me out and really, like, just broke me. And then I started talking about me getting arrested when I was 18, and then just a lot of things. When you listen to it and hear it, you can understand, like, the transition. Like, I'm getting to I'm getting to my plateau where I need to be, like, of success and sobriety. Like, I'm going through these phases and I'm twirling around and shit and fucking, you know, like, I'm going through
yeah.
it, dealing with these different emotions while I'm trying to get off Xanax. Because when you're getting off Xanax and you're getting off drugs, you deal with all sorts of emotions of withdrawal and wanting to get back on and wanting to still do drugs and trying to cope with not being high, you know, like, because this
right.
is hard when you're first doing it. Like, that's why a lot of people go back, you know, and they end up doing, because it's just they can't resist that feeling sometimes. But, you know, you got to take it day by day. And that's just literally what I did. Like, and only you, I feel like, can put yourself in rehab. Only you can want to change. You no one can change
yeah.
for you. You can't spy someone to rehab. Go to rehab. They have to do it on their own. And in my case, I was dying.
Yes.
Like, the next seizure I had, I was dead. So, like, I had to, or I was going to die. And I did not want to die. So that's what made me want to freaking go to rehab. So everyone has their rock bottom, and I definitely hit mine.
Yes, yes. And all praise to the Most High. Now, I want to ask you about the surgery you had. Was that due the usage of your addiction?
So,
or is that something
so
totally
that
separate?
Actually was just another testament of the Most High showing me, you know, you can get through anything. I was working as a butcher at Fraser Farms, and I caught a bacterial infection. This is right before COVID, right before coronavirus was it, like anyone heard about it. And I was working as a butcher for not even a month, like probably like 3 weeks, and I caught a bacterial infection. They said it was airborne. It affected my my throat at first. They thought it was bronchitis. I went to the little hospital, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you have bronchitis. We're gonna schedule. We're gonna give you some meds, blah blah blah." And literally, that night of when I went to the hospital, I went home and I woke up immediately at 3 a.m. crying, screaming in pain because I couldn't move my entire arm. And I had no idea why. I, like, literally woke up and I was like, I screamed for my mom. Mom, what was happening? I can't move my arm. I can't move it. Like, I can't. Like, it felt like I broke it. And I was so confused because I literally just went to sleep. And then we go right back to the hospital, like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, and he's looking at me like I'm stupid. Like, what do you mean? Like, it hurts. Like, you can't move. And I was like, I can't move it, bro. Like, I'm in tears. Like, it hurts, bro. I can't. He's like, well, did you overextend it or something? You work out? I'm like, no, motherfucker. Like, I just look at it. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, run some tests
right.
or something. Like, oh, what's going on? And they ran tests, and they were like, we got to get you to the San Diego, like, hospital, SDSU hospital right now because you have blood clots all in your arm and in your neck, and you're dying. And so they had a – they sent me – they took me in the ambulance. They rushed me all the way, and then that's when they started. I had 5 surgeries on my chest. Basically, they took a sponge, and they would take the sponge in and out of my sternum. In and out of my sternum, and the sponge would soak up all the infection, and they would just do rehab to repatch me and redo it, and they did that 5 times within a span of, like, what, 2 weeks? About 2 weeks. I had 5 surgeries. That's, like, and it was just insane. It was just,
I know.
It was just so bizarre.
It,
like, like a horror movie.
Yes. But you know what? I have to give this up to my cousin, your beautiful queen mother. I mean, you have a praying mother. Cousin Jamie is a praying warrior. I love her spirit. I just love her smile. She's such an inspiration. All
she is,
has been through. Yes, like a strong.
She's been through a lot.
Yes, and the way that she handled Lino, losing Lino, you know, the way that she's so strong with it, like she's an inspiration. And then after that, had to deal with what you was going through, you know, just like.
Yeah,
man,
she saw me have that seizure. Like, she's.
Yeah. Wow, like, just such a. I love Queen Jamie. I just love her. So I wanted to put that out there. So. Yeah, so if you're listening, Queen, I just want you to know, but you already know we have these butterflies in common. So I think we just need to go to some more music before I get emotional on this air right now.
Love you.
It's all good.
Love you
hey,
all.
Hey, check it out. 777. I want to go to, I know we got some more songs I'm going to play, but I want to go to this one just because it's Flashback Fridays. And the second part that you being so young, know about this song, and it was one of my favorites, and you remixed it and ripped it apart, man. So let me go to this. I know you know where I'm going, right? Yeah.
Exactly,
let me do this right here. Onyx Last Days remix of 777. Let's go.
Yo, well, I smash mics every time I hit the stage. Rappers turn to renegades after I slay the bass in a boom. Zoom, zoom like a rocket. Jimmy Neutron with a million neurons in my brain. Why I keg on crates, snore coke through my brain. Sip lean the kind of pain. I'm strange out of this world. Universal, spite with the ice and it's purple. Niggas nerds like Urkel. Levy verses been rehearsed, sometimes reversed. So super niggas can understand. They always fold in the jam, never blame with the fam. More than around homies, cause niggas is fans. Land of the slaves, home of the braids, home of the AKs and bays. Hoes on blades, pimps turning tricks and dope heads. Crystal and black, snore crack. Homies with tats on their stomach and they back. I heard stacks put niggas on their back. Just a no-hook song. Car alarms go off, it's a bomb, sit off in a garage. You in charge of your life and your future. Brain like computer, watch the computer delete these losers of crap users. Be a school tutor, lock and load a ruler, destroying futures. My baby style, I would never lose her. Gun playing, no shooter, Lil J Dick, a full-time banger. Actively active, causing damage, static. Semi-automatic, leaving mamas and grannies tragic. Two cups of Four Locos mixed with Norco's damn with motor oil. Burning foil and hair to smoke as I coughing. Release the green cabbage and broccoli fiend. Biscotti, runs and gelato. Off a lot of hollow tips and sticks and whips and chains. I'm the brains, nigga Dexter, giving lectures. Psychological torture, biological warfare. Gaddafi committed kamikazes, standing for Ferraris with a C4 and a Claymore. I hate whores, I hate sluts, I hate sluts. I smoke blunts and I smoke runs. Stacks on a Glock in the trunk. Double pump, leaving niggas stump. Dump, fall over, slump the cunt. A punk, rolling up on Cresco. Mellow yellow, have my body jello. I'm a good fellow, playing Nintendo. What my nigga doing on this?
Tell my nigga watch it. Was born broke, but I'ma die rich. I don't serve dope in public, only private.
What?
With a God, when I get it, mama styling.
What?
She deserve more than the money and some island, cause I was wildin'. Had my chin up, ain't no violent. I was violent, all blue like a pilot. They didn't tell you, they just niggas keep it quiet. Massacre, and I ain't talking about no island. I ain't settling, bitch, I'm had a flight pause, cause you know I let the devil in. And I'm heaven sent, right around Thomas Edison. Cut that light on, little nigga, we ain't settling. I need me a G5, and you see why. My name is T.Y. I can't go far, nigga. I can't sleep tight, until I get my fam straight. Niggas need, niggas need me, and they just see me, lost this lesson. Did this for my adolescence. Thank God for these blessings. Did it for my mama, she ain't stressing. Shout out to my niggas. And we thankful. Woo!
Mm.
That's it.
Hey, man, I just got to ask
what was going on this one, man?
What was going on with this one, man? You sounded like Eminem. You was like on one on this one. Tell me what was going on when you made this one.
I used to be called.
Marcy just said he sounded like Eminem on that one.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him right there.
Mm-hmm. I was in my attic mixtape. So that was when I used to go by Young Craze. I used to go by a different name. I used to go by Young Craze.
Yeah, I remember that. Young Craze.
Why?
Because you was just out there wilding out. Is that what the craze
that
was
about? Yeah, that was the fade. Like that. That was like Young Craze is like a stage in my life. Like where I was like, that was like the drug addict. The banger, the motherfucker, dope fiend, like that was just the dude that was just fucked up who had money.
That was don't,
who would try to get
don't
that
try
was about
to
rob
things.
You even though he had money, like just being weird, just on some just weird shit. Like I was just a dope fiend, and I wanted to bring that character to life and also music, so people can see the transition. A lot of dudes like it's weird, like they go into rap in one way, and then they go rapping negative, go to rap in like a game that like it's weird, like dudes going some dudes going to the rap game rapping positive and rapping one way, and then they get changed by the industry and start rapping negative. So I came out rapping and already doing negative shit, and so now they're gonna see like my going they're gonna see all his elevation. And so that song was the lyrics were literally of what a mindset of who a person I was on. I did a lot of drugs. I did pretty much every single drug. So from meth to fucking Xanax, to ecstasy, codeine, lean, every name it. Like I did every single thing. And that.
So let me ask you this, Sebastian. With Sebastian, let me ask you this. When you start going to the different ones, like you said, you went from, I know I'm calling him Sebastian. I got to call him by, I'm sorry, bro. But when you're going to the different drugs and shit, right? It's like, what is it now? Yeah. It's just to a point where you just, I'll just do anything, or is this you're trying to search for something else? Let me try this one to see if it does something different, or is it just to a point you're just doing whatever? Like, let's do it all.
Oh, yeah, no, it got to a point where, like, it was just, I was doing whatever, bro. Like, I was, like, on
right, whatever was there.
Self-destruction, whatever was there and whatever
at
I feel my hands
whatever.
On. Any situation,
right.
Exactly. I'm on, there's parties, I guarantee there's going to be drugs, I guarantee there's going to be people with whatever. Like, come on, let's go to that party,
right.
Let's go do, so I was always trying to find a come up. It's all everything, like, oh, he has dope, oh, he has this, oh, he has a gun, we gonna take that gun so we can go rob someone for drugs. Like,
right.
It's just not even think, because, it's just, I don't know, like, my generation.
So
like,
let me
I
ask you this,
with,
too. Sebastian.
Yeah.
Sebastian, let me ask you this, kind of off topic, but the same thing, because I want to ask, since we're talking about these things and the younger generation and the drugs, do you think this goes into play? Because you just said yourself, you're doing this, let me go rob someone, or whatever, to get more drugs. Do you think this is what goes into play nowadays when there's so much more senseless violence with the youngsters and the killing and the robbing and the stuff they're doing right now?
They're addicts.
Okay.
A lot of them are addicts, and they will do anything to get their high. So they're going to try to just, they're going to, whatever they can.
Right.
Yeah. Just to speak on that, my grandson, he's 16 years old, and he's had this friend ever since elementary school who's now 16. And for the last 3 months, he has gotten addicted to Xanax. And his whole world has rocked. Change has been like a beast. His mother got to the point, she did not know what to do with him. He started stealing, running away from home. She did not give a damn. She called the authorities. They told her that he has to run away and be reported 10 times before they can do anything. She would tell them where they can find 10 times out here in Charlotte. She would tell the authorities, well, I know where he is. And they told her this, well, maybe that's a safe place for him. And this is the girl he was going to go run away to do the drugs with. He's 16 years old, so now she had to go to the court. Now he's committed. But just out, and I've been doing this,
Let me commit you.
Yeah, and I've been knowing this kid since I've been here, and I've only been here for 7 years. And I've seen his change. I've seen when he was changing, because I used to tell my daughter, I said, shit, he looked like he smoked weed. Something going on with him, because I would just see it, you know. But I would have never thought that it was...
My dad would say, you know, two of my friends, like, he would, my dad would see my friends from little kids from playing Pop Warner, and then, you know, we hit high school, we hit, and he would be like, that boy changed. What you mean?
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah,
he's different. He looked like he just don't care about nothing no more, you know, and I'm like, that's just the environment.
Yeah.
And then when you got family who's also in prison, and their dad's in prison, or their mom is on dope, like, so they just do not care. Like, their environment is like, oh, fuck, my family ain't here for me, so who cares?
You lose your soul, and that's what I've seen in this young man's eyes. It was like his eyes were just getting so, every time I seen him, they were getting empty, and he was just, and he's such a liar, you know, and I would tell them, he sound like a liar. I said, he's lying. You can't believe all this shit he's saying. He's lying. You could just kind of tell that he wasn't being true to what he was saying, because he wanted to be, and I think he was being bullied at one time. But I also want to say this, because I gave your mom a salute. I have to give your dad his props too.
Oh yeah, my dad.
Yeah, the soldier that he is.
God.
You know, your dad is my favorite cousin. Yeah, he's everything. He is. He's like, man, how he
my hero
took control. Yes. So I have to, you know, salute to your dad, who you are a junior of, which is a strong name. Sebastian is a strong name. It carries a
right,
lot of weight.
Right. That's why I'm calling you by your name,
weight.
Man. I don't want to call you. I mean, seven. That's seven. That's cool. But Sebastian, man, sound
oh, yeah,
you know,
no,
you're
no,
king,
no.
Homie.
Yeah, blessed. What up? Yeah, you good? I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I had to give my cousin Sebastian, your dad, his props.
The big
Sebastian. To him. Real general, a general. You know what I'm saying? Like a general.
But I know
when
you were younger, that was, I don't know how that is as a youngster with kids, like certain names. Even my name I didn't like, so
as
I understand.
I know. As my dad, bro, so I'm going to tell you this. He was my biggest influence of just wanting to be the most respected person in my city. Like, everywhere I went, every time he took me to Compton or L.A., or any event out there, every person at that event showed him the utmost respect. Like, the amount of stories. I never really heard stories like that come up from my dad, because it was told by other people. He knew what the type of,
because he's a very
humble
guy.
Like, you feel me? Yeah, like, he let him know, like, yeah, like, this is what is, what's going on. But I was, the other day, I would hear other stories, and, you know, he just, everywhere, I just saw the respect, and, like, to me, like, it had to, I felt like it had to do a little song with fear, too, but it is what it is, like, you know, during that time, like, respect and fear goes hand in hand, like, you know, it's,
I respected
my dad, and I did fear him, you know, but now I've come to, like, I don't fear my father, like, I love my father, I don't fear him, I love him, but, like, every child should love their father,
and the fear was,
fear of him, you know.
And the fear, that's just in our, that's in our bloodline, because I did the same thing with my children. I made sure that they feared me. And that's so you can always get that respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to respect me, Summer. But people, when they hear the word fear, they hear it in a different tone. It's not that way.
Yeah.
I can recall that family events, and your dad would be standing there, and who's on both sides of him? Who's on one side, who's on the other side?
Oh, you're talking about
you and your brother right there.
Oh, yeah, me and Lino,
yes. And I would look over there, I'd be like, man, they ain't fit to be fucked with.
No, he raised us not to take no nonsense. Like, that's why that's why I didn't like to bring nothing to him. Like, I don't want to bring no nonsense to him. I don't want to have him hear about stuff. So I would always try to hide stuff and try to, like, because I'm like, he don't need to be dealing with it. He dealt with so much, from getting shot, from getting out of the, you know, Marine Corps,
military,
and the construction worker. And then from changing his life to coaching. He put countless and countless of kids in the NFL and in the in baseball, professional baseball. Like, he's helped so many kids.
Hell of a coach. But he got that baseball coaching from your grandmother. Yeah,
baseball was his favorite sport.
Yeah, you know, at Dolphin Park right there in Carson. That Mama Cardell, Dolphin Park right there in Carson. Absolutely. Wow. But, yeah, let's get back to the mental health part.
Yeah, let's get back to talk about that.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't, in our culture especially, they do not like to talk about mental health. To them, it's a stigma.
It's a sign of weakness.
Too embarrassing.
It's a sign of weakness. If it's not there in front of you, physically happening to you, they don't believe it's happening.
Right, right.
And it sucks. Like, certain fact, girls like, man, you having depression? You haven't, get over it. Like, man, shut up.
Yeah.
You're fine, man. You don't need a therapist. You don't got money for a therapist.
Yeah.
Shut up. Go to school. Like,
yeah, suck it up, you know. But, you know, PTSD is real.
Yeah. All that schizophrenia, anxiety, bipolar, all that stuff is so, so real. And even now it's more prevalent because of the internet and because of Instagram, because of all these other – y'all didn't grow up with the internet. Y'all didn't grow up with being able to see literally whatever you can on the internet as a kid, and that is so damaging. You got little kids just looking up murders and looking up all this. Mm-hmm. When I have the kids, they're not having no Google, no none of that. No, they're not going on the internet. Like, for what? You're a kid. Go outside. Go to my backyard.
Yeah, it was a whole different ball game, you know. But that's good what you're saying for your children, because this internet, social media,
it's evil.
It's not going nowhere, and it's not going nowhere. It's very evil, and it's just getting more so evil. I heard of something they got called now. What is it? The chat room? Is that what it's called?
I don't know about that. I know about the metaverse.
G. Lou, is that what it's called? The chat room?
I don't know.
I think it's something called the chat room or something. But it's like it's just too many different social media platforms, and where it is evil, Junior. Just like you said, you know, it's just a lot of evil to it, and it can cause mental health because you want to keep up. You know, you want to be part of and not even realizing. Did you ever do lean?
Yes, I did. I actually had an overdose with lean. I can tell you guys if you want to talk about that situation.
Of course.
So, when I got out of rehab, when I got in sober with it, I was fresh out, and I was still going through my phases of dealing with, you know, being off drugs and everything, you know, and it got to a point where I'm still, you know, 5 years clean on Xanax, but I was still dabbling with cocaine, and I was still having troubles with me. You feel me? I'd never did the Xanax thing. Just like I was done with that, not doing it in school, but I was dabbling with me when I got out. I still didn't. It was weird. I don't, you feel me? Like, I put myself in a weird mindset when I first got out of sober living, because I went back home to nothing, really, because I had to start all over, and it just, I was really depressed because I had no one to help me. I felt like to start, like, you feel me? And I didn't want to ask for help because I put myself in that situation, so I can't expect someone to help me like that. So, you know, when I got back on my feet, I was working, like, I was a dishwasher making $11.50, you feel me, like, doing, from working graveyard shit, like, you know, and I was busting my ass, and I still, like, every time I felt depressed, I was just lean, and I didn't see it as anything, but, and it's fucked up, like, because I should have seen it as heroin. I should have seen it as another opioid. But growing up, like, seeing your cousins do it and seeing it accepted in music, and then you don't hear about people, like, you rarely hear about people. When I was doing it in 2000, that time, you weren't really hearing a lot of people, like, overdosing like that. People really started overdosing in 2000. Yeah, like, you know, it's
it wasn't really like that like in my area. So Lean was just, okay, yeah. And a lot of the school officials and parents, like, no one really knew about it like that out here in Oceanside. So, like, Lean was just Lean, you know? So I had an experience. It was about 2018. I actually drove all the way to L.A. I drove to Nickerson's. I know you guys know where it's at.
Oh, yeah, the Bounty Hunters. My
yeah. I went to Nickerson's Garden because I had a homie who was staying right there. And you feel me? He had to connect with that. So, like, and I was, everyone was dry. And, like, I was just fucked up. It was getting close towards May 4th. And that's the date my brother committed suicide. And this is going to be, like, the first year, like, without him. You know, I was just tripping, like, damn, like, fuck, like, he's still gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I went through rehab, sober living, tried to get my money, and he's still gone. I'm still alone. I'm still by myself. So I was just mad. Mm-hmm. So I drove all the way to L.A., and I drove to Nickerson's, tell some homie, met with him, literally grabbed a fucking I didn't even get a whole four. I grabbed two lines of some yellow codeine. They just call it yellow, but it's just, it's Lean, it's promethazine with codeine, but it's the yellow. And I got 2 ounces of that, and I poured it in a little 8-ounce water bottle, and I mixed it with a soda. And I literally was sipping on it for a little bit. All the whole ride from L.A. to back to Oceanside, I just had it in my cup, just sitting, just dropped. Like, I'm surprised I didn't get in an accident, but I was just driving the whole way there, just sitting it out of, like, a little, you feel me? And I go home, I pour the rest in a regular cup, roll a blunt, and I'm not even thinking what I'm doing. Like, it was so weird. Like, I wasn't trying to kill myself. I wasn't trying to, like, it literally wasn't my mind. I wasn't trying to kill myself. I was just, like, I'm just sipping weed. I'm just sipping Lean and smoking weed. Like, I literally smoked a blunt, and then after I finished my blunt, I just downed the entire cup. I just downed it, just like this. I'm just listening to music.
Like it was water.
I'm listening to beats, like just vibing out, like just not even trying to think. I'm not just, oh, I'm just fucking, just, I feel good right now. But then literally 3 minutes after I downed that cup, my body felt like it was like 90 degrees, 90 to 100 degrees. I was overheating so quickly. Like I was like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, shit, I feel hot. I feel hot as fuck. What the fuck's going on? And then my vision starts shaking. Like, it's literally everything starts shaking. And it starts going black and then back to vision black. I start going in and out. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, I'm about to die. I'm about to die. Oh, shit. And, like, I feel my heart beating, boom, boom, beating faster and faster and faster and faster. And then fucking I get up. And I'm, like, screaming for my mom. My mom wasn't there at all. Like, she was gone. She was with her dude somewhere. And I was just screaming, Mom, help, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then I, like, went and I ran to the living room and I fell onto the couch. And I literally just thought of my brother. And then I thought of my mom walking in on me dead. And I just kept, like, trying to, like, tell myself, like, bro, like, you can't die, bro. You can't die, bro. You're not going to do this, bro. You're not going to die like this. Like, you can't overdose on me, bro. Like, and I just kept telling myself, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. And I'm literally in a fetal position on the couch, and, like, my legs is just uncontrollably shaking, and I just keep repeating that to myself. And so I called, and once I felt like I was about to black out again, I called my mom. So I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, Mom, you come home, where are you? I didn't even lie to her. I told her it was edible I took, but I later told her it was Lean. But I was like, yeah, like, I had an edible, ooh, like, come on. So she came with her dude, and they just sat next to me, like, you take you to the hospital? Like, I was just so confused on what I did not expect Lean to do that. I was so, that was probably the second most time I've been scared in my life, because I literally thought that's how I was going to go out, from fucking Lean, drinking, from sipping too much, because it was, I sipped too much, basically what it is, heroin. It's like when a junkie gets out of rehab and he shoots up again, the same amount, because at the end of the day, they're all opioids, they all come through the same family of pharmaceuticals. So, like, when a junkie shoots up the same amounts he always would shoot up when he was a junkie, he's going to die. He's going to overdose. And that's what happened. I overdosed off fucking shit I thought I could handle, and I didn't. And that's the last time I fucking was sitting, I mean, it was 2018.
So I'm so fucking proud. I hate that shit. Every time I see dudes with doing it, I'm just like, bro, you're sipping heroin, dog. Like, just stop, dog. Just stop, fool, please. Like, I tell all the homies, bro, like, bro, please stop that shit, dog. And they know it. Like, I tell them, bro, you're sipping heroin. You're a junkie. You're like, you gotta stop, homie. Like, that shit's not good for you.
But why has that become that's like the number one thing for the youngsters now. I see like that lean is so popular. It's like more popular than weed.
The music.
They go hand in hand, but you know, lean is like everyone got a double cup. Like, what is it? I'm sure obviously, like you said, it's addictive.
For sure.
Too, though, once you start.
Yeah. But the addiction, because it also tastes good too. Like, it's sweet. Like, you feel me? It tastes good when you mix it with a drink. And then also you see, like I said, the music. You see all your favorite rappers doing it, and you see it in songs. That's why mental health and music is so important, and that's why all my music has no curse words, and it's suicide prevention, and it's drug prevention. So we got to get the positive lyrics to go viral. We got to go viral and have everyone listen to, like, the good music. Like, because the labels are only signing, like, whoever has the most views. So right now, the negative people do. So, like, we got to make lyrics positive and make them go viral and have everyone rally behind it and change, because no change is going to happen if the music is still talking about gangbanging, killing, and doing drugs and doing dope. Like, that's why nothing's changing. That's why rappers keep dying and getting shot, and they keep overdosing because they keep coming out with music like that.
And now it's such a bigger time. Hold on, Queen, one more thing. I just want to ask them. Now it's such a bigger thing, too, not only, like I was just saying, with the lean being addictive and all the youngsters on it, but the young rappers dying more at a just high rate as well.
They are younger and younger.
Right, you do see that in a lot of the videos. The lean, you know, just how they just dealing with it and drinking, and they even mention it in their lyrics about, you know, drinking lean.
It's normal.
And when you're doing that. It's normal. And when you're doing that, you're influencing your fans to want to try this shit. You know, they see how cool it looks to them
seeing
you on a video.
It's also gangbanging music, too.
Right.
It's also like gangbanging music, too. Like, they put it out there so much to make their fans want to do it.
Speaking of your music, give us your numbers on, you know, your songs, because I know that your music has gotten a lot of views. And what type of audience do you see that you're attracting? What, you know, the ages and things like that?
I think I honestly, like, when I checked the insights and the age range, it's from 17 to 24.
That's a good deal.
Age group in it right now. Like, the most listeners are who listen to me, and like, I feel like I want to keep going lower and lower. Like, I want to get all age brackets like to listen, to be part of the change. Like, but I feel like young people is more important, because they are a young generation, and they're gonna end up, you know, like, running the country. So, like, that's why we gotta try so hard to get everyone on positive music and on positive things, so we can raise more Malcolm X's and Martin Luther Kings and more Bill Gates and more Steve Jobs, more, like, people to do things for the community and better the community and better the world, like, and for health and just everything. Like, we don't want people like that. Raise them.
Yeah.
Hey, with so many.
You're doing
go ahead, Queen.
And I was just going to tell him that, and you're doing such a good job by inspiring that. So salute to you, you know, because you can bring a man to become better, productive people in the future as well.
He's doing it. Sebastian, with all this, like you just said, with all these other rappers, so much negative, and I know it's not all negative, but that's really what you're going to hear and what's being promoted, because that's what the sales, right?
Yeah.
So with all the negativity, like you said, you're one of the ones pushing a positive or just trying to enlighten the youngsters on something different. And being that you've been there as well, you can tell them, and it's coming from an honest place. What other rappers are there, do you think, is out there that is doing that as well or can do it? Because I don't see many, but like I said, I know it's just not being pushed, so I just may not hear it, but I know it's out there. But what's your thoughts on that?
That's the thing right now. It's not being pushed because there's definitely, you know, there's artists out there, and I know there's artists out there that, you know, want to teach positivity and want to preach, you feel me, like, good. I got my longtime friend, T.Y., who's going to blow up. Well, I know he's going to blow up, and he's all about positivity and enriching the black youth and all youth and all the younger generation and being better. And
that's
the
dude that was on the song with you.
Yeah, T.Y., yeah.
He's hard.
He helped,
and I heard his message,
me
too.
Heal, bro.
I heard his message,
He's a very good influence, hand, and also there's that's the thing, bro. Like, I want to get more people on the right track of promoting just good, like, music that's gonna just empower, like, the people and for just the positivity and for better. Like, I don't like co-signing with negative people talking about killing people and doing that. I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
it's sad.
It's very sad. You also had said on your Instagram page that the author of the marathon had reposted your music.
He interviewed Nipsey. Like, he knows, like, he knew Nipsey and everything. Interviewed him, like, wrote a whole book about him. New York Times bestseller. The marathon don't stop. It's big, great book. So, like, people should really tap into it if they can. It's online. Pretty much read it anywhere. He's a really interesting dude. Like, very, very, really articulate in his words, and he's very prolific.
Cool.
Yeah,
and that's crazy. You said that, Queen, because that's really where I was going when I asked him that. Because, you know, I'm a high supporter of Nipsey Hussle. You know, and he's gone now. Mm-hmm. To me, he was one of the youngsters that had the message and could reach the youngsters from both sides. You know, so that's really mm-hmm. who I was thinking of when I asked you that. So it's a trip. Queen just said that.
That's all. I would have said Nipsey too, man. Like, but I know he passed away. Just, I feel like Nipsey, he was just beginning to find himself.
Exactly.
But that whole, you know, your allegiance with your hood and your gang. I feel like as an artist, you got to make two decisions, bro. Or just, you got to make it a decision. You got to either be a full time rapper or professional entertainer, or you got to be a full time gangbanger. If you want to be a gangbanger, you still want to, you know, do your due diligence, because you got to be allegiance. You still pledge allegiance to that hood. You can't, you feel me? You know, he didn't get jumped out. He didn't do that. He could have dropped his flags and dropped his allegiance, but you feel me? But he wanted to keep that. I'm a 60, I'm a Crip first. I'm a Roman 60 Crip. And it's sad, but that's what led to his demise, bro. Like, if he stayed out of that game, he stayed, in my opinion, you know, I can't speak, but if he stayed away from all, he'd still be living.
Yeah.
Stay positive.
Yeah, you gotta stay positive. Or have you ever thought about going to, or have you ever been invited to go to any schools and speak on mental health?
Not yet. I'm hoping to this year. I wanna start going to the high schools and, like, start asking if they got any events, or just talk to old teachers I know, like, through Facebook, and see if I can they can talk to, like, the principals and see if, like, yeah, I went to this high school too. Like, I was doing this and I did, like, I would love to do that, because I know there's a lot of kids in my school that are going through what I'm going through, like, or what I went through at their age.
Or just even to speak to the parents, because, see, a lot of parents don't know, you know, like you said about the how you didn't smoke weed, because that's so detectable. You know, it's like, okay, I smell that weed. I can smell, you know, but taking a pill.
A lot
of parents don't even know, you know what I'm saying? So even to talk to us, if it even starts with a small group of parents and the word get out, they'll be coming to listen and that would be an amazing thing to do as well. You know, you have a good story. You know what I'm saying? You have rebirthed yourself with the help of the Most High. The Most High allowed you to go through these phases, universal phases in life, to become who you are today, because it's only going to be greater. You're only going to be greater in the future. As each second, you become a greater person, a greater artist, a greater inspiration. You know, that's what you do each second of your life. And all those universal phases is leading you to where you are going to be. You're going to be higher than where you are now. You know, you're just going to.
Thank you.
Yeah. 777 blessed is going to be, your name is going to be known. You know, it's, I just can't see it being any other way.
Hey, with that being said, let's get into some music, man. You were talking about soul saving and people losing their souls. Let's go to this song right here, which I like personally, Save My Soul. Can you tell us about this song?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, yes, my girl's favorite song, too.
And salute to your queen, too. Yeah, she's beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm. Miss Queen Jane.
So yeah, Save the Soul. That's a good song. I like that one too, G Lou.
Life is so numb, going in circles. My cup was filled with ice purple. Pain pills was all so normal. Overdosing in my bedroom. I can't seem to shake the habit. Life was hard, even worse than that. It caused more damage when I lost my brother. Paranoia took my brother. Save my soul.
Take no Zans, I'm cool off that. Ganja smoking, hella wet. Staying true, we gotta be. Not no fiend, I'm hella lean. Friends is fake and family too. Miss your brother, he died in May. Pray the Lord, my soul to take. Pray the Lord, my soul to take. 1, 2, 3, and here we go. No more drugs, just hear me, bro. Inject that needle, it's suicide. Please hold on, just be alive. Time goes by, it really flies. Out the rat race when you can. Work no pay, it's slavery, man. Fentanyl should be made legal. Free healthcare for all my people. Black, white, Mexican, Asian too. Every single race, let's make a pact. No more fine, I'm afraid of that. Ride, 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 ride with me. Smoke no meth, no pizzle piece. Crack cocaine, in this Adderall. Hyped up fast, now you wanna bang. It's all around your neck and chain. Spend it all on phone drinks. Lots of slugs and a lot of choppers. 100 rounds gon' cost my just. Help me God, these haters flying. Friends fake and family too. Miss your brother, he died in May. Pray the Lord must know the day. Take those hands, I'm cool off that. Got smoke and hella wax. Staying true, it gotta be. Not no fiend, I'm telling me. Friends fake and family too. Miss your brother, he died in May. Pray the Lord must know the day. Pray the Lord must know the day. Smoking on my collard greens. Always puts my mind at ease. It's just something in my genes. It's just something in my veins. This my fate, I can't explain. Fame and fortune in my future. Wanna be a king like Martin Luther, like Brother Malcolm, like Marvin Gaye. With the swag and game and heavy D with all the chains. Tupac with drums and extendo clips for all my demons. Never went to Neiman's, dirty chucks to heat. With some torn dickies in a pro club. With some Moen blood, salt from the ocean. With the high socks, let me hit stop. You ain't Michael Jackson, no king of pop. Gold around your neck and chain. Spend it all on Moen train. Lots of slugs and a lot of choppers. 100 rounds gon' cop some options. Help me guide these haters flying. Friends fake and family too. Miss your brother, he died in May. Pray the Lord my soul to take. Take no Xans, I'm full off that. Gone to smoke and hella wax. Staying true, we gotta be. Not no fiend, I'm hella lean. Friends fake and family too. Miss your brother, he died in May. Pray the Lord my soul to take. Pray the Lord my soul to take.
Oh, we. Oh, we. That's a banger right there, man. That's. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's fire. Yeah.
It was like a banger. It was like a banger. Listen, when you're listening to it like a youngster, it'll fool him because it's really a banger, and he thinking like that's some lean music and some of that, you know, but you really speaking a message in there. That's what flipped it and made it hard. You know what I mean? So you can listen to it and bop and bounce, but you're hearing the message as well. That's dope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of kids I've talked to that listen to only drug music, some of them don't do drugs, right? And I ask them, you know, why do you only listen to drug music, or why do you only listen to gangbanging music, and you're not a gangbanger, you don't even do drugs? Oh, bro, it's the beat, it's the way it sounds, the way it, like, you know, I don't know what he's saying at all. Like, I do not know what a chopper is, or a freaking, like, I don't know what he's talking about, but I just, it sounds good, and, like, that's why I don't know he's talking about drugs or killing people. Like, I'm just listening because of the beat. So now I'm like, okay, maybe it's just, that is what it is, you know, it's the beat and how it sounds. So let me do that. So let me make a song go viral, but replace the lyrics with positive lyrics and have that go viral. So then people, when people are interested and look into the lyrics, because there's a lot of fans that be like, okay, let me look into what this guy's saying. Oh, he's talking about doing drugs. Well, that must be good. You know, so nah, but when my fans read my lyrics, because they're going to be like, all right, let me go to the lyrics and read what he's saying. They're going to say, damn, he's, you know, they're going to realize what doing drugs is fucking, bro, you need to stop, dog. Stop doing dope. Stop fucking your life up and killing yourself and fucking your family over. Like, you don't need, like, let's make drugs not cool again. Like, because for a while, people were trying to make it seem cool, and drugs are not cool at all in no way, shape, or form.
Right. Right. Hey, Sebastian, let me ask you this as well. To go along with your music, I don't know if you have already or it's in the process, but do you have any other plans to do other things to get your message out there? Like Queen said, go to schools, talk to people. I think there's a future in that. And also writing a book. I think an autobiography or book on your life or something would be incredible, man, even turn into a movie or documentary.
That's what I'm actually working on right now. I'm working on a documentary of my life. And I'm shooting a video.
That's awesome.
I interviewed my mom and stuff, and I turned people in my life and been interviewing. Like, Queen Jane, I'm going to have you get it on the scene. And you have to do it behind camera.
Okay.
You have to be talk about me. Like, because I'm doing a whole, when I'm going to these labels and, like, have my little press kit, they're going to want to know who's blessed, who's 7-7 blessed, like, who is just going to have the documentary on me. And they'll be like, okay, yeah, this kid's legit. They're going to see my face, my brother's name on my face, the suicide prevention, semicolon on my face, and they're going to see my tattoos are meaningful. Like, they're not stupid and ignorant. Like, they're for a reason.
Yeah.
And they're going to change. And they're going to see that the change is universal, because everyone on this planet has dealt with some type of mental issue, or has known someone with a mental issue, or has experienced someone that's bossed with suicide or drug abuse or something. So it's, I can go
anywhere. Exactly.
Hey,
what?
I just got one more thing, Queen. I'm gonna leave it all to you. I just want to add this to the mental health. In your opinion, for people listening, because mental health now is a word that is tossed around a lot now and it's spoken on more, which is good, and people are getting more understanding, but still, it's still loosely put out there and loosely not understood, I'm sure. So, to you, in your opinion, what is the not the definition, but what can people think of when they actually think of when people say we're going to speak on mental health or we need to increase mental health awareness or whatever? What to you is your definition of mental health that people need to take from that when they hear it?
People need to express their emotions. People need to ask for help. People need to realize that they're not the problem and they are, you know, they're asking for help and they need to be heard and they're not just thrown away and locked up and no one cares about them. Like, they have a voice and they're not alone. So, like, it's their emotions. Your emotions matter. A lot of kids don't come forward because they feel like they're weak, or they feel like they come forward, they're going to think, oh, he's a sissy, or he's weak, or he's just a messed up kid, like just whatever. They're going to have some type of messed up opinion about him because he's talking about his feelings. Your mental health is your feelings and your emotions, because you're in charge of what something makes you feel. You know, like you should be in charge of that, and your mental health is very important, and you need positivity around you. You don't need negativity around you. You don't need anger and heat around you 24/7. You need to be around love, and love overcomes hate. You can't win anything with hate and hate, you know, and people need to understand that. Like, the more hate is just going to kill this world and kill yourself. So you gotta cure it with love.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
Yes. First of all, I want to ask you, what is the tattoo on your knuckles, on your fingers? What does that say?
So it's actually my name. It's the 3 7s and then BLEST.
Oh, okay.
Blessed. Yeah, so I got I want people to know how serious I am about what I'm trying to do and my message. So every time people meet me, I've had so many more fans as I met throughout my job, like helping people. Oh, what's your knuckle say? Like, oh, it's Beaumont. Oh, that's cool, bro. Hell yeah, man. Like, just, where can I look you up? Put my knuckle out. Look me up right there. Like, so I wanted to get very distinct tattoos that are meaningful, so it can be easier for people to identify me with, like, instead of just a bunch of crazy tattoos. Like, nothing wrong with that. Just, I wanted my own, like, you know, things that just people can help better distinguish me, like, and the first tattoos I got were on my face. One was my brother, Marcelino. I got his name on my eyebrow, and then I got the suicide prevention column under my eye. So I just want people to know how serious I am.
Hey, that name, man, let me add this, too. That name is unique. I'm glad you mentioned you have your name, the 777. I've been calling you Sebastian. His artist name is 777 Blessed, and I think that's real unique. I'm sure, like me, once I heard it, I could see where you're going with it and what that means. It's so unique how you did that. But can you kind of break down the name? I take it from, you flipped it. Like 666, maybe this is 777. I don't know, but tell the people what the breakdown of the name.
My lady helped me out, too, with, like, my name, Blessed. Like, because I had the sevens in mind already. Like, you feel me? Like, I was going to be, like, this young Cray sevens, but I wanted to get rid of that young Cray, but I wanted to keep the 3 7s. I wanted that to be a part, because I wanted that, but I wanted that to be the first thing people see, because I want people to feel positive. The first, because those are the first 3 letters, 7 through 3 7s. I want people to feel positive, and then they're gonna feel blessed, because that's why I bless. Because we could have just had it straight, be blessed, or just be BLEST or whatever. But I want that to be the 3 7s, 7 7 7 7, and blessed. So it's just, you know, people see it, and then also you go on you feel me, Apple or whatever, like I'm all the way at the top. Like, I don't know, it's the way I set it up, like I want people to know right when you type in that 7, I'm going to be everywhere.
and it's going to be for good.
Yeah.
It's not going to, it's going to be positivity. Then they're going to look it up, and they're going to find their own angel number. And there's all these other angel numbers out there, and they're going to be have their own divine intervention into positivity. They're going to just want to be better people. That's what I want. When people listen to my music, I want them to be better. I want them to be like, damn, yeah, gangs, drugs, all that shit. Nah, fuck that. I'm gonna do good. I'm going to be better. I'm going to get some money. I'm going to be like, I'm going to do it the right way. Like, I'm going to treat people with respect and dignity. Like, I'm going to open doors for motherfuckers. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. When I seen your artist name, the 777 Blessed, I said I was where you were at, G Lou. I thought the same thing when I first seen it. I was like, man, that's so spiritual. That's where I went with it. That's a spiritual artist name. So very spiritual. I sent you an Ankh a couple of years ago. Do you still have that?
I still have the Ankh. It's at my mom's house. I still have it. Still keep it locked away. Safe.
Good. But I wanted to also give my take on mental health. Like, for me, I say depression is also another way of describing mental health, and I speak for my personal, because in 1993, mm-hmm. I was very depressed. I was in a very depressed state in my life, and where I was institutionalized. I was on a 72-hour hold. Yeah, chronic depressed, and I was supposed to go to work that night, and they only kept me for 48 hours, but it's real. You know, and from that, I start, you know, like, I speak on it. I'm very transparent about it because it helped me. You know what I'm saying? The just going to counseling, and it helped me to be who I am today. So just saying that the people who are so depressed, don't think that you can handle this by yourself. You can pray and you can pray, but you have to be wise as well. This is why the Most High gives us common sense. You got to use your common sense. Get the help that's needed. It's nothing wrong with receiving help. It only makes you a better person in life. It teaches you so much about yourself and teaches you how to deal with others as well. So I just wanted to say to you, because we're getting ready to come to a close, first of all, you can let our people who's listening know how they can contact you, your Instagram, if you want to give out your Facebook, if you have Twitter, you know,
yes,
all your handles.
You can find me everywhere, Google search, wherever, Instagram, every social media, every social platform for music under 3 7s. 777, and then Blessed, BLEST.
Okay, let me see. Our cousin just asked if we're taking any more calls, so I'm going to let her know. Yeah, so she can call in real quick. And let them know that your music is streaming on all digital platforms, correct?
Yes, man. It's streaming on all digital platforms, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora. So just type in the 3 7s and then Bless, BLEST, all one word.
And we thank you so much for taking out the time to have this conversation
with us.
Very, very informative. And you guys go follow 777 Bless. Go follow him. Check out his IG. Make sure
Promote it everywhere.
And, promoted everywhere, and get his music, as he stated, streaming on all platforms, digital platforms. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah,
pretty dope. I'm so sorry, Queen. That was an accident. My bad. I'm so sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that. No. I didn't mean.
No.
Okay. I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. Go ahead.
So yeah, just all his music. You know, he has some really dope music, and
no curse words.
No cuss words. That's what I love about it. It's so positive, and it has a meaning to it. You know, it's not just this whatever's out here now. music, you know.
We're so blessed.
Yes, yes, music. Bless
to have this music to go along with the narrative and the message. Cousin, I salute you again. Shout out to 777 Bless. Shout out to the G Blue Show. Shout out to Blog Talk Radio. Yay. Shout out to At Queen Cousin Jean. Shout out to everybody that makes this possible. I'm so proud of you, and I just sent you a message on IG. I can't wait to rap with you again, cousin.
We're going to see each other, too. I'm going to have to pull up with you, me and my lady.
I'm going to cook for you. Just tell me what you want me to cook. What you want me to cook? I got you.
Mac and cheese, some yams.
I got you. I'm about to send you what I made for Christmas.
He wants some soul food.
Collard greens.
He wants some soul food. I got you. Like your grandma would make. Yeah, exactly, Junior. Exactly. I just posted my lady. My dad always tells me I remind him of her. I've always taken I love her. That's my lady. That's my warrior. I love her.
Okay, we have another caller. We have 424 on hold, which is another cousin she's been on hold for a while, so we want to let her come in and speak as well.
Let her come in. Peace.
Hello.
Hey, Trina.
Hi, cousin. We haven't met.
How you doing, cousin?
I love you, too. I just want to tell you I commend you because speaking on mental health is a hard thing, and I've been there myself, and I'm telling
really
you, personally, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression in 2017, which went into major depression, and I had to get sent to a psychiatrist, therapist, and I also tried to commit suicide before. So thinking I couldn't talk to nobody because, like, nobody understood
coming
from. So it's hard to speak out and ask for help. So I just want to tell you I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank
you,
family. I love you. I pray you get better and you're going through.
Thank you. And we all we got, and we come from a strong line. I'm trying to tell you, and we bigger than with the devil trying to think of, like, yeah, put on our mental.
Right. We, like you said, we just come from strength. We fall, but we don't hit the pavement.
Not at all.
That part. Yeah.
Not at all.
We come from strength. So.
We ain't gonna be down for too long.
No, we don't hit it. We don't hit it. You know, Junior, this is Cousin Cecil's daughter, which is Uncle Stephen's granddaughter.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so this is his daughter, his oldest daughter.
I just beat breast cancer, in which I was on hospice and all that. So being that you've been through what you've been through, overdose and came back, it wasn't your time. God got other plans for us. I do music, too.
Yeah, we can look me up on YouTube under Baby Girl, B-A-B-Y-G-U-R-L. Look me up. We can link up, put some stuff together, but we both got a testimony. Yeah, we got a testimony, and we got stuff to say. Yes, ma'am. Well, all love to you, man. I hope you doing your thing and keep being positive. Keep going strong. Praise you. Stay blessed.
Thank
and all
to
that
you.
Please. I love
keep
you.
Keep your head high and stay positive.
I will. Yes, ma'am.
And I love you. And one day we're going to meet face to face.
Yes, ma'am. We all are. I can't wait. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in LA more often.
Please do.
I will. Don't worry.
And I'm going to get your number from Cousin Jean so I can call you on my own.
I want to thank everyone, too, on the show, Queen Jean, everything, and G-Lo, man. Like, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate it. Let me come on and talk about this platform because it's really so important.
I love y'all. You know, I got lady got to get some
too.
Right now. I got to be up early in the morning, so I got to get out of here, man. I love everyone. Thank you, man, so much. Anything you guys need, just DM me. Just my DMs is open, family. Like, I love y'all, so just stay blessed and stay positive, please.
You too. I'll be chatting with you tomorrow.
Yes, man. Love you guys. Love you guys.
Okay, love you too. Good night. Peace. Thank you, Trina, for calling in.
You're welcome, cousin.
Love you.
Who?
Love you too.
Love you.
I love you more.
Falling, causing all these problems. I can't even solve them. I'm so sorry, honest God, and I will stop it. Xanax took my world, my planet. Soul is gone and vanished. Hit too deep, wow, I can't sleep now. Seizures en route. Washing away my sins, I cannot let you in. Demons outside the wall, they will kill you, dog. Alcohol and guns, the slum is filled with drugs. News for validation, racists are contagious. Tell me why you hating, cause my skin is out of places. But my mind is real amazing, fantastic aspirations. Talking Grammy nominations, on my granny I'm a winner. No, she loved me, was a sinner, alcoholic, broken liver. Rest of soul, it was hard, long nights, thug and raw. And my daddy is from Compton, but my motion starts stopping. With Samoans pop locking and the essence get to popping. Falling, causing all these problems, I can't even solve them. I'm so sorry, honest God, and I will stop it. Xanax took my world, my planet. Soul is gone and vanished. Hit too deep, wow, I can't sleep now. Seizures en route. Waking up on the flow, seizures, did you know? Caused by the Xanax, I was doing bad. Robbing, stealing cash, taking pills in class. Raindrops falling, nighttime falling. Keep on calling, miss my brother. Soul has shifted, life is different. On a mission, see my vision. Falling, causing all these problems, I can't even solve them. I'm so sorry, honest God, and I will stop it. Xanax took my world, my planet. Soul is gone and vanished. Hit too deep, wow, I can't sleep now. Seizures en route.
Once again, shout out to the 777 Bless Sebastian Jr. Bless the show. And before we take you out of here, let me play this one time because we just lost this legend right here from this legendary group, one of my favorites of all time. And we lost another one the other day from the Force Indeed. So let me play this for you all before we check out of here, because I am Lewis House and love is a house and you have the key. Ladies and gentlemen, keep love in your heart. Rest in peace, homie.
Just remember, the doors in my heart will always be open to you.
You have the key.
Special guest, 777 blessed us tonight. Thank you again, Queen Jean, my co-host. Take us out of here.
Hey, I think you did that with Love Is the House, because you are love, G. Lou. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the platform and allowing my cousin to come on and speak about this mental health, which is so important. So thank you so much for allowing that to take place. And
you're welcome.
To everyone out there, yeah, peace and love. I'm sending positive energy vibes to everybody. Live your truth, stay solid, and be safe. Mask up. Sanitize, because this is getting real all over again, whether it's a conspiracy, whatever it is, it's here. Take care of yourself and people around you.
That part.
One love, Ashe.
Peace and love, y'all. We'll see y'all on Sunday. We out of here. And don't forget, next Wednesday, we got the legendary DJ Yella, NWA. We'll
DJ
speak more
Yella.
Another. See you Sunday. Peace, y'all. We out.
Take care.